welcome to today's episode of Biz Trends, where we delve into the transformative trends shaping our world. I'm your host, Bronwyn Williams, and today we have the privilege of speaking with Faith Popcorn, the founder and CEO of Faith Popcorn's Brain Reserve. She's recognized by the New York Times as the Trend Oracle and by Fortune magazine as the Nostradamus of marketing. Faith has been at the forefront of identifying transformative social movements for decades. From cocooning to vigilante consumers, her insights have guided Fortune 500 companies in navigating the ever-evolving consumer landscape. In this episode, we explore Faith's trend, the People's Pushback, a powerful trend where individuals and communities are challenging systemic injustices and demanding accountability. Whether you're a business leader, activist, or global citizen, this conversation will provide you with invaluable insights into understanding and engaging with this movement. So let's dive in. Faith, you've been a pioneer in identifying societal trends. Can you share your perspective on the people's pushback as a trend and its significance in today's global context? That makes a lot of sense, especially given how we know how inequalities are growing across the world and how social media and technology put those inequalities front and center in our faces, which means that we can't ignore them or live within our own bubbles. We're confronted with the excesses of wealth and the horrors of poverty every time we turn onto our devices or we look at our screens and see what's going on in other parts of the world. But that's enough context. In terms of responses, what are you seeing that industry leaders, this could be political or brand leaders, are doing in response to this demand? Are we seeing cynical responses or authentic responses or no responses at all?
So I think that they're thinking this is going to go away. I don't have to say anything or do anything. I don't have to really clean up my act, so to speak. Or, you know, these chairmen, let's say, are in a really weird position because they're going through a almost an evolution, like almost a physiological evolution with AI. We could talk about this chairman of 2035, how different it's going to be. And right now, they're kind of, it's like when the dinosaurs evolved, right? It was so slowly that nobody noticed. You know, there are fewer trees on the, you know, leaves on the trees. And then gradually, you know, one fell over, the other fell over, the other fell over, the other fell over, and then no more dinosaurs. That is kind of where we are, except on super speed. So they're, you know, it's almost not their fault because it's happening like, and the way people are communicating with each other, you know, usually when you started an evolution or a revolution, it's a lot slower. Somebody would call somebody and say something and maybe they'd gather in the park. Now, like you're on a multimedia channel, it's multimedia all at once, show up here, bang. And it is going to affect the Fortune 200. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this.
So talk to me about that. What explicitly is in danger of going extinct, going the way of the dinosaur? What's dying?
Purchasing. This is how people express themselves. So when we now lose confidence in a entity, it could be a media channel, but more likely, like you said, it's a brand, let's say. And we feel that the brand, because we can't trust the government anymore, so the brands are kind of taking place of the government, and we feel that the brand is not responding to our hearts and what we're feeling. The only little thing we can do is stop buying. And I think that that's how you're going to see people expressing themselves in this people's pushback. Yes, they're gathering, but they're noticing this lack of authenticity. They're noticing bad labor practices. They're noticing that there's no transparency. They're noticing that there's a lot of slogans but no action. And maybe it's that moment in time when the people's pushback is that the, let's say, the companies stop for a minute. They're like, what's happening? And the consumer stops. You have this giant stop. And you're going to see this in the numbers. So how many people, Brown, I'll ask you reverse, have you seen saying, like, I don't have to pay that much attention to AI. I don't feel like it. It's not that important.
Oh, I don't know. Not so many people here. We've had a few conversations on this show, how different that perception is in different parts of the world, too. And that's an interesting question to ask you, too, Faith. And that is, how do you see this trend playing out in the African context, given that there are a few more nuances here, especially when we come back to that point that I was talking about around how, in some ways, technology is unifying us globally, but in other ways, it might be kind of highlighting some of our differences in lived realities and experiences. So it gives us different responses to the same kind of homogeneous context.
Yes. Honestly, I don't. I mean, I spend a lot of time in South Africa. You know, we've worked with many companies, Investec, many clinics, you know, have hired us on. I think everybody's feeling it kind of the same way. Maybe South Africans are expressing it in a way more, I don't know, refined. The way this much more like, you know, in a little bit kinder way. But I think it's definitely, we're seeing it happen there. And people are looking like for their banks. They want, like, I want a human, I mean, that was our work with Investec. I want human people. I want humanness. I want transparency. I want to know what the chairman is doing and thinking and saying. And like with Investec, I mean, that was, I think that's a fine example of a great response. They're there. You can call, like, Kumar, CEO. He's going to be there for you. So I think it's a little bit different. You're right. It's more humane, more emotional, more 3D, more expressive, and less, even though, of course, you know, with your great revolution, you went through a major change. I think some companies are responding there, but not enough. But the ones that do will be highlighted, like big, like spotlights on them.
Yes, there's a lot at stake there. So let's lean into that a little bit. And from your perspective, I mean, you've obviously worked with some clients. Hopefully some of them are quite progressive too. Maybe even some of your clients listen to you. I know that we work in similar industries and, you know, sometimes you do throw those pearls before perhaps undeserving voices. But at the same time, who are you seeing emerging? And you can talk to individuals, to activists, or to companies where there are case studies here that you see exemplifying and amplifying this trend. In other words, doing the right thing. And you mentioned Investec, but who else can you point to in terms of people who are embracing the zeitgeist?
Well, I most of our work is confidential, so, you know, I'm walking a fine line. But I will say the MediClinic people are certainly understanding that when you're in poor health or you need to go to a MediClinic, right, you're even more vulnerable and more sensitive to transparency, embracement, kindness, support. And I think that you'll see in these clinics like a lift there. So I think, you know, being closer to them, they're, you know, more responsive. Yes, but generally, I think people are kind of hoping it's going to go away. And I'm seeing it gather steam. You know, you always hope discord is going to go away, especially when you're running something big. Mm. But for me, AI is the next. You have somebody next to you with AI, let's say, that can answer any question, psychological, physiological, emotional, personal, business, like, you, who has that in their bedroom now? I mean, who ever had that? You have that. That's your friend. So it responds to human conversation and human questioning, not code. So I think that that's the major transformation. I can ask AI right now. I mean, we did, of course, but tell me everything about you. Tell me what you belong to. Tell me people like you. Tell me, you came out very well, by the way. But, you know, we get an enormous amount of detailed information, and we can push it deeper and deeper. And I think that that's the thing that's going to take climate capitalism further. I wanted to bring up, you say who. I looked for the heroes of today, and actually, I couldn't find that many because people respond to people, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like looking back, like to like an Al Gore, you know, and his whole climate platform. That was a person that got out in front and talked about, you know, technology, climate change, democracy reform. I don't know. Do you remember Ralph Nader?
Yeah.
So another hero who said, you know, cars were unsafe. Looking for corporate accountability. This is in the 50s and the 60s. So, you know, with Mandela, you know, how long ago, though, we saw a real person evolve. But if you had to say who now, I think this would be difficult. So it's going to probably be a bot or a combination of people in like a AI, I don't know, personality, maybe? Is, you know, yeah. I need to take 1 second. Can I take 1 second? Just hold, because I have something in my eye. Okay. Okay. I did it. So, I'm writing this article about CEO of 2035. CEO of 2035 is going to be held accountable, not once a year, the big, you know, stockholders meeting, but daily. You know, because we're going to be able to measure the CEO, his promises, by the moment, daily, is it executing. The board members, they're going to be human. I think kids are going to be on the board, the next generation, and also bots. So you're going to have AI as a board member, as a measurement tool, as an announcement. The CEO is doing it, not doing it. And you'll see something right now, at least in the United States. CEOs are kind of backing off. And they're kind of saying, a lot of them are retiring. It is because, as I said, they're going through this evolution into this new thing. So, you know, I'm seeing it recorded in culture. You know, your own Karin Zoid, right? You know where her concerts are now? It's very interesting. She's doing concerts in churches. A rocker is doing a concert in a church. Because I think she's picked up the need and the desire for intensive spirituality. Through, you know, you can always look at the culture and see it reverberate. So, you know, it's almost hymnal, but it's rock, but it's in a church. So what atmosphere is she trying to, you know, push out there?
Oh, yes.
So
you really are talking about this this massive shift that's taking place in terms of power, who has it, how it is revealed, how it is exploited. And maybe you can talk to us a little bit about that. What power structures are being challenged right now? And what are you seeing as a futurist, as a trained analyst, as the new sort of forms of power? You've spoken about the cracks in our current institutions and our current corporate dynamics. You've spoken about the rising sort of citizen and consumer power. But what does the future look like? Because this is a season of transition. And any transition, there's some people who gain power and some people that lose power. And some who gain power in the short term but might not hold that power in the longer term. Because you're talking about many chess pieces moving. You're talking about power dynamics shifting among humans, but also power dynamics shifting at an almost vertical level among or from humans ceding power to machines. And all of these things have feedback loops. So what's your view as to who's gaining, who's losing, and where that power shift is moving towards?
I think the bullshit power is losing, if you don't mind me saying. The tie and the shirt and, like, you know, talking in, I want to say in, like, taglines, you know, is losing. I think people that are not available to the people are losing. You know, people not showing up for the people are losing. And I think that what's winning is transparency. It's very simple. A response to the people in real time. Not thinking you're too good to speak to the people because you're making, like, you know, $20 million a year and you're, out, you know, kind of above it. I think a female energy. I don't know if you have it there. I'll tell you a statistic. You know, statistics don't lie. So this is the largest transfer of wealth.
Yeah.
In the history of humanity to females. And guess what? We're not seeing it yet. We're not really seeing it yet. I think the women are kind of going like, oh my God, I have a lot of money. What do I really think? What do I really believe? And they're not turning to their, let's say, male partners and saying, you know, who should I vote for? What should I do? So I think you're going to see a self-knowledge of power with women, because, you know, she's got the birth control pill and she's got some cash.
It's really so,
you know, I don't know if you noticed that the birth rate's crashing. Why is the birth rate crashing? A couple of reasons. One is, like, you know, do you want to bring kids into this kind of world? But I think the real reason is because it's a choice. Years ago, we did a magazine called, you know, Child Free by Choice. So I think you're going to see a lot of women child free. They're going to be, like, working and making something. And they're going to have a tremendous effect on the people that provide products, services. It's going to be the main focus of, a bank or a company. You're going to see more of them, along with the boss, on boards. So we've been talking about this. We called it evolution, like EVE, like Eve, evolution, for years. But now they have the cash. So what's going to happen?
Yeah, indeed. What is going to happen? But before we talk about where we're headed and what your predictions are for the future, let's look a little bit into the past as to what are some of the drivers that have got us to this point. In other words, why here, why now is the people's pushback the topic of conversation we're having today?
Because Rome is burning. So I think it's a confluence of nature, which is, by the way, Mother Nature, kicking back hard. We have fires, we have floods, we have elections that we're not sure we believe in. We're seeing little wars, not so little, popping up all over the planet. The right to water, you know, which should be a human right. You know, years maybe of abuse and pushed down, when people push back, you know, being pushed down. There's a whole confluence of pressures that are hitting right this second at this moment. And you know what's interesting? I mean, at least here, I have to say, U.S., talk about products. You'd think people would be drinking like crazy, right? What are people's response? Like, you know, but here, it's interesting. They're morphing from drinking to hallucinogenics. You know, if you want to study a population, study the gaming in a population. The escape is not so much as alcohol as the ketamines, you know, type drugs, the mushrooms, hallucinogenic drugs are replacing alcohol. And here we're seeing a real decrease in alcohol, not much of a response because the alcoholic beverage coming, like, this can't be happening. I mean, things are bad, but nobody's drinking. You know what? So it's not the usual response. So I think, yeah, we're looking to live in a different world. And that's what gaming, by the way, provides. And that's what TikTok provides. You know, you can get on TikTok and you look up and it's 3 hours later. So that's different. And the way, you know, this platform is communicating. Isn't that like, let's go on TV that nobody watches?
Exactly.
Right? So, yeah. We are suspicious of everything. The food, the pesticides on the food, the stuff in the drugs, the ingredients. There are apps now that tell you this has red dye in it, this has this in it, this has that in it, don't. And when you look down, it's almost like it rates you, I forget the name of it, could be called carrot or something. It rates like very bad, very bad, very bad. So I looked up everything everybody's eating, is it very bad? So I think that we don't, when we open a like a package, M&M's or something, you go like, what's in there? So I call that, and we wrote a magazine on this, like extreme paranoia. We're seeing extreme paranoia as part of this. Because not all of it's true. It's not, in some cases, that bad, but we think it is.
Yeah. So that's what's kind of got us here. These are the undercurrents that have got us to this kind of tipping point that we're talking about right now. But now that we've spoken about time, let's talk about place. And that is, where are the most active sites of people pushing back right now? And you can speak to regions, countries, industries. Where are the hottest spots? Who's getting to the future fastest in this regard?
Well, who's getting to the future fastest is the people that are understanding AI. The Sam Altmans are getting to the future fastest. You know, the people that are creating departments with agents, meaning here I'm one person, and I can create a whole department, let's say in an advertising agency, a writer, you know, an account executive, all these things, except that they're AI agents. So I think that we're seeing the reduction in human hiring. I think just like always, you're going to see the extreme change in supermarkets. That's where you see, you know, and what you're asking here, I think, is for prediction, like what's going to happen. It has to push through to transparency. Mm. It has to be like, you know, what am I getting? What can I believe in? And as much as AI is going to be the thing that we look to, it's also going to be a human heroes. I think we're prime right now for human heroes. And that's a little bit dangerous because sometimes it could be bad heroes, or I should say heroines, and sometimes good. I think we're looking for like some goodness and leadership. And man, we're in short supply. So I'm sitting here and thinking, is it going to be like almost a AI combination that is going to take human form and we're going to believe that we follow that? Going to be like that? Are we not going to realize, is that a human or a conglomeration of what the public is looking for? A little scary. honestly, do you know about the Turing test?
Mm-hmm.
Turing test is a test for humanity. It says you're human or not. You know that AI passes the Turing test with flying colors? You can't tell. As a matter of fact, in some cases, if you compare it to humanity or humans, it does better than humans in the human test. So we have a few years left for humanity to step up.
Well, speaking of stepping up, let's come back to the present and to our listeners who are now hopefully both inspired and a little bit afraid. And that is the question then becomes, what advice do you have for those brands and for those businesses and for those individuals who are listening to or watching this that want to lean into this trend authentically, not opportunistically?
Or what was that last thing? Or what?
What advice do you have for brands, businesses, or individuals that want to lean into this trend with their eyes wide open, not opportunistically, but authentically?
If I was a brand, I would become available, my leadership. I would start telling the truth. I would be listing my ingredients truthfully. I would be comparing myself, because if you don't, you can do this on AI right away, to other brands, why I'm better. But mainly, I would step down from my throne, my CEO throne, and meet the people. So, yes, if I were a bank, I would not only cater to people that have a lot of money, but I would cater maybe to the people that are going to have a lot of money, like females right now. And I would be more advisory about their families and their kids. So I guess we've forgotten, because this should be so automatic, what it was like to become a good person. But, you know, so a brand has to become a good, you know, a citizen, a good person. And I think those are the brands and the organizations that are going to win. You know, You know, I was going to say, you see a swing here in even what we're eating. You know, this animal rights trend is like growing. It's not like this, but it's growing. You know, especially with younger people, we're much more conscious of our responsibility toward animals and, you know, how they're processed. I think that if I had to say one thing, you know, two words, but it could have a dash in the middle. So one word, anti-processed. Anti-processed food, anti-processed people, anti-processed environments, anti-processed everything. I want it clean, I want it pure, I want it right out of the source. And it's a big ask.
It is a big ask. But while people are thinking about how they can fulfill that ask or what they need to change in order to get to that point, we've got one last question for you, Faith, and that is looking ahead to make an actual prediction, your boldest, biggest prediction about how the People's Pushback trend will in the future transform capitalism, the corporation, the economy and society as we know it beyond the next decade.
Make the people your board of directors. That's your board of directors. Get in the middle of the pushback. That's your board. Ask the people, what do you want? How can I help? What should I do? You know, as we're becoming more robotic, we're looking for uber responsiveness. And boy, that's a major change. So, you know what they say in martial arts, you know, people, you know, when it's something's coming towards you, the best way to defend yourself is to incorporate the energy. It'd be incorporating the energy of that pushback and making it part of your mission forward.
That's great advice. And that's a wrap on today's episode. A huge thank you to Faith Popcorn for sharing your deep insights into the powerful trend of the People's Pushback. From the streets to the C-suites, This movement is reshaping how we live, buy, work, and resist. So whether you're a strategist, a brand leader, or just a curious observer of culture, we hope you leave this episode with new perspectives on how to respond to and respect the rising tide of consumer activism. If today's conversation has inspired you to think differently, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow us on Wrapped BizTrends TV. You can also find us on Biz Community's official website, The Real Network, YouTube, and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So from me, Bronwyn Williams, and our incredible guest, Faith Popcorn, and the teams at both Biz Community and Rap Creative, thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time for more future forward thinking.